Little John. Granville, Australia, August 3rd, 1894. Elder Little John, Battle Creek, Michigan. Dear brother, I received and read your letter, and am more sorry than I can express with pen and ink that anything of a disagreeable character should have occurred between you and the General Conference Association or the publishers of the Review and Herald. It is necessary that something should be done to guard the interests of those who believe the truth for this time. Christ has given many warnings to the effect that false doctrines, false prophets, and false Christs would arise and deceive many. From the light that God has been pleased to give me, His humble servant, I know that these prophecies have been fulfilling, and testimonies have not been few that have been given to meet these things as they have come up, all along through our religious experience. Great delusions will arise, and even of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Acts 20, verse 30. Even Satan will disguise himself and appear as Christ. I can see plainly that should everyone who thinks he is qualified to write books follow his imagination and have his productions published, insisting that they be recommended by our publishing houses, there would be plenty of tares sown broadcast in our world. Many from among our own people are writing to me, asking with earnest determination the privilege of using my writings to give force to certain subjects that they wish to present to the people in such a way as to leave a deep impression upon them. It is true that there is a reason why some of their matter should be presented, but I would not venture to give my approval in using the testimonies in this way, or to sanction the placing of matter which is good in itself in the way which they propose. The persons who make these propositions, for aught I know, may be able to conduct the enterprise of which they write in a wise manner. But nevertheless, I dare not give the least license for using my writings in the manner which they propose. In taking account of such an enterprise, there are many things that must come into consideration. For in using the testimonies to bolster up some subject which may impress the mind of the author, the extracts may give a different impression than that which they would were they read in their original connection. I am also receiving printed matter, tracts, and leaflets from one and another, which present a large array of scriptures put together in a way that would seem to prove certain theories. But they only prove the theories in the estimation of their authors, for truth set in a framework of error diverts the mind from the real subject which should take the attention, and aids error in calling the minds of men away from the present truth which is essential for this time. These persons bring certain scriptures together and interpret passages of the Bible so as to give coloring to their views. But they are wresting the scriptures to make them appear to say that which they do not say. False theories will thus be propagated in the world to the very end, and as long as there are printing presses and publishing houses, erroneous matter will be presented for publication, and books will be prepared for public circulation. Should there be no guard against the publication of erroneous theories, our own publishing houses would become the agents for disseminating false theories. Writers make a world of one or two items of theory, which others cannot regard as important, and then the writer thinks his ideas are greatly belittled. 2 or 3 days ago, I received a chart from one who professes to be a Sabbath keeper in California, and he feels very sore over the fact that the Pacific Press does not pay respect to his productions and accept the light he would present to the world. There will be gods many and lords many that will be struggling for recognition. But should the persons that feel such a burden to pour out something original upon the world walk humbly with God in meekness and contrition of spirit, the Lord would recognize them and give them the grace of His Holy Spirit in order that they might do the very work, according to their ability, which God would have them do.
You may say, what does Sister White mean? Is she classing me with these erratic workers whom she has mentioned? No, I do not. But I would present the difficulties that should make our publishing houses cautious, in order that you may see the necessity of measures being taken at our office of publication to discourage the infatuation with which many are taken, in thinking that the Lord has laid upon them a burden to write and to publish a variety of matter that would not only not be for the benefit of the churches at this time, but would be the injury of the one who engages in the enterprise. I wish you to see that something must be done to guard the people from impostors and that there was need to make resolutions that should discourage the determination of men to put their imaginary theories into print. You know how it was with Brother Edson. He wrote much, and he thought that what he wrote should be published. Then the Lord wrought upon his mind, and he gave up the idea and burned up his manuscript. But he could not let it be. He reproduced his theories, and upon his death he left money, and charged his wife that she should have his manuscript published. She did not think it so essential that the matter should be published as he did, and after she had given the manuscript into the hands of the proper persons for publication, she withdrew it and gave up all the burden of its publication. Brother Edson's production was never printed. He was a good man, beloved of all who knew him, but the matter which he had brought together was not the subject that should appear, not meet in due season for the flock of God. It was of a character that would start into life erroneous theories that would be nourished by human agents and would bear fruit in dissension and discord. We found it necessary to take steps in the formation of a book committee, whose duty it should be to look into the matter offered for publication and to decide as to whether or not the matter was worthy of publication. If the men on the book committee are in touch with Christ, if their eyes are anointed with the eye salve which Jesus recommends them to buy of him, then, and only then, can they be proper judges as to what will be profitable matter for publication. It is highly proper that manuscripts shall be carefully examined before receiving the endorsement of the Review and Herald office, and having the benefits of the influence of the office. I have all my publications closely examined. I desire that nothing shall appear in print without careful investigation. Of course, I would not want men who have not a Christian experience or are lacking in ability to appreciate literary merit to be placed as judges of what is essential to come before the people as pure provender thoroughly winnowed from the chaff. I laid out all my manuscript on Patriarchs and Prophets and on Volume 4, The Great Controversy, before the Book Committee for examination and criticism. I also placed these manuscripts in the hands of some of our ministers for examination. The more criticism of them, the better for the work. Your writings, I presume, are just as they should be, yet it may be necessary that they should go through the process of being examined carefully and critically. If no fault can be found with them, they should receive the notice and the commendation that is due to such class of work. You are dealing strong blows against tradition and errors that lie at the foundation of a heresy that will destroy the souls of those who receive it. A wide door to destruction is open to all those who believe in the immortality of the soul and do not believe that Christ alone brings life and immortality to light. I believe the book you have written will do good in enlightening many who are in darkness. But for all this, my brother, you surely can see that barriers have to be erected in our publishing houses concerning this bookmaking business. You can see that if no measures were taken to bind about this line of work, very singular productions would be poured upon the world under the endorsement of our offices of publication. Do not understand me as approving of the recent action of the General Conference Association, of which you write. In regard to that matter, it is right that I should speak to them. They have many difficulties to meet, and if they err in their action, the Lord knows it all, and can overrule all for the good of those who trust in Him. I sympathize with you in your difficulties and perplexities, but I must advise you to wait, patiently wait. These delays may seem to you to be very tedious, and to be working you personal injury, but please do not take this view of the matter. If you will put your trust in God and wait patiently a short time, I trust that everything will be adjusted satisfactorily. You have been deprived of your temporal eyesight, but if you have bought the spiritual eye salve from the heavenly merchantman and anointed your eyes that you may see, your spiritual light will be of far more value to you than gold and silver and precious stones. You may have to wait a while for the adjustment of the matters that trouble you, but do not get yourself into worse temptations by feverish frettings or by seeking to obtain relief by any means contrary to the will of God. You speak of humbling yourself by having to wait for the sanction of the board upon your book. Some things have passed into history very recently that have sharpened up the vigilance of the book committee. Advantages have been taken in the publishing line which have hurt the offices and will continue to hurt them because a heavy debt has been incurred through the publication of matter that never came before the book committee for their consent, and of which they had no knowledge until the office was involved to the amount of $5,000. Brother Littlejohn, time is short, very short, and every true child of God is to be vigilant, wide awake, and not to be found for one moment on the enemy's ground. My brother, you have need to exercise your mind most earnestly to gather with Jesus Christ, in order that Satan shall in no case use you to advance his own interest, and you destroy yourself. You may think that you have reason to be angry because you have not been treated properly and justly in the past, and that you will not submit to this restriction or to that. My brother, whatever you may think about the matter, I will say that you have not been right in the temper of your spirit and actions. There is a work that you can do for yourself that no other one can do for you. You are to let the tenderness of Christ into your own soul. You have no righteousness of your own on which to stand, and therefore Christ became your righteousness. You need to be continually clothed with the righteousness of Christ. You need to bear in mind that you are a child of God, and that you are to possess a tender, kind, patient spirit. Look closely that selfishness and covetousness shall not abide in your soul. The only reason that you or I shall be able to give for our salvation, if we are saved at last, will be, Christ died for me, and his blood cleansed me from all sin. Your heart must be touched with the subduing love of Christ before you will attain to the perfection of Christian character. Your experience is lacking in spirituality. I feel a deep, earnest interest in you, my brother, and desire that you may have a different experience. It savors too much of self and too little of Jesus' love and tender compassion. There is need of your seeking the Lord more earnestly, perseveringly, and believingly than you have done. Since my first acquaintance with you, I have felt an intense interest that you should see the King in his beauty, behold the earth made new, and be eternally saved in the kingdom of God. My brother, Jesus is a complete Savior, and I desire his joy to be in you, that your joy may be full.